gauge the health of South Carolina's economy with someone living it.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill. Well, it's mind-making up time in South Carolina. Tomorrow, Republicans will vote in the primary. And for a lot of people, the deciding factor will be the economy. We've heard a lot from politicians about their plans to turn things around. But we wanted to talk to the folks that live the economy there. So we turn now to Bill Mahoney. He's the CEO of the research and development company SCRA in Columbia, South Carolina. He employs more than 200 people. Good morning.
Good morning, Adrian.
So what's it like to do business in South Carolina?
Well, actually, the business climate is very, very favorable. It's a low-cost, low-tax environment with a lot of connectivity, both digital and physical. As you know, we have one of the most active ports and one of the most extensive highway systems in the Southeast. And so all of the brain power and logistics capability we have forms a very good spot for business.
And what do you think are the biggest hurdles facing the economy right now?
We're struggling with high unemployment, but professional, scientific, and technical employment has grown in South Carolina through the recession. So we may have been affected first by the downturn, but I think we're coming out of the downturn in a pretty aggressive fashion.
Now, as the head of an R&D company with government contracts, what do you make of D.C.'s budget-cutting mood?
Since the Navy is our biggest client, we're a little bit concerned about that. But the defense budget R&D line, which is our leading indicator, looks like it's not going to be cut. We're cautiously optimistic that that will be maintained in the defense budget.
Now, as a CEO, what are you hoping for from our next president?
As a growing business, we want to make sure that both the rules of doing business with the federal government and with corporations are properly regulated, but not over-regulated. Part of the reason that we're in business is that we act as an objective trusted agent on behalf of corporations who want to do business with the federal government in the R&D phases. And, you know, frankly, over the last few years, it's gotten more and more difficult to do business with the federal government. So we're hoping for, obviously, proper oversight, but not undue oversight in those transactions.
Bill Mahoney is CEO of SCRA in Columbia, South Carolina. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Adrian.
New tech companies are attracting more startup money. A report out today finds venture capitalists are in a spending mood. Funding rose 19% in the last part of 2011. Joining us now to talk about what the spree means for the economy is Jill Schlesinger. She's editor-at-large for CBS Money Watch and joins us every Friday. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what does this new investment tell us about the economy?
Well, it says that deep-pocketed, sophisticated investors are feeling a little more optimistic about certain parts of the economy. When you look at the numbers, it's really directed at software, biotech, and clean energy companies, too. They're hoping that one of those bets becomes the next Facebook. But I really wouldn't go too crazy because, you know, these numbers of the investments, even though the percentages are big, the actual numbers are pretty small and a drop in the bucket when compared to the total size of the U.S. economy.
Now, could these investments pay off for us?
Well, yes, eventually. Remember that these kinds of investments are usually made with a 5 to 7 year time horizon. So we're not talking about a this year kind of impact on growth or even on jobs. Right now, it's much more important that the European debt crisis is resolved and the general global economic outlook improves. Those are the ingredients that are really going to boost confidence and hopefully get the recovery moving quicker. And down the line, those VC investments could add to it. But I wouldn't bet the farm on those investments either.
Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large for CBS Money Watch. Thanks.
Take care.
Now, let's do the numbers. Global markets are mixed this morning. We've got reports that Greece is close to a deal with its lenders that keep the country from a messy default. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow finished up 45 points to 12,623.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. By Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. and by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
Just can't get enough Pandora on your phone, or YouTube, or Spotify? Well, it could start costing you more. On Sunday, AT&T will raise rates on its data plans. The phone company wants to limit stress on its network. But as Jennifer Collins reports, data is a commodity we've been conditioned to love.
My name is Jennifer Collins, and I have a problem with data. There's a new app. I want it. There's a hot new post on YouTube. I've got to watch it. Thousands of emails a month. You try not responding. Tech analyst Laura DiDio says, I've got a lot of company.
We've just really gotten addicted to using more and more data and applications.
And that's mucking up the wireless works. So AT&T is raising rates on three of its plans about $5 a month. The company is offering more data for your money, but there are still caps. Fran Caulfield is with Insight Research.
Putting limits on the heavy users is a way to stop that flood of traffic.
But how are we supposed to limit ourselves when every day brings more opportunities to download and connect? Again, Laura DiDio.
I don't see the public's appetite for more and more data diminishing anytime soon.
She says companies will just need to boost their ability to keep up with us. Downloading that 12-step app now. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, pity those South Carolinian voters we were talking about earlier, at least until tomorrow when the primary election there wraps up. According to the AP, 25,000 presidential ads have run in the state. That's $12 million worth of vote for me's and I approve this messages. The average TV viewer sees six pro-Romney ads a day. I kind of feel bad for the local car dealers or mattress sellers who are probably struggling to get an advertising word in edgewise. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
It's the hottest accessory among the political elite this year, but you too can have your own personal super PAC. It's easy.
This is not rocket science. For most people, you want to have a super PAC, fine. You file a one-page letter.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Super Political Action Committees, a step-by-step how-to. Also, the news from Wall Street on the broadcast. That's next time for Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.